The bald man stared across his desk at the soldier. He wasn't saying anything. He didn't have to. The condemnation was writ large in his intense gray eyes, in the folds of his fleshy face, and amplified by the drumming of his fingers on the desktop. The soldier, as was his wont, stood at ease, eyes focused on the past, remembering the ruined bodies of his buddies. The images came back to him without warning, and with them the haunting thought that pieces of their bodies would be forever lost to the soil of a strange and distant land. Pieces of him, too. Invisible pieces that no one but him knew were missing. Finally, the man behind the desk spoke.
"Don't misunderstand me, son. I appreciate the irony of having an illegal do our work for us. I truly do."
"I did it to insulate us, sir, not for the irony."
"Am I hearing things? Did someone in this room give you permission? Did I ask you to speak?"
"No, sir. Sorry, sir."
"As I was saying, I can appreciate the irony of it. And I understand that if the Beaner got caught, there wasn't anything he could tell the authorities about us. But it was short-sighted, son."
"Permission to speak, sir."
"Go on."
"How was it short-sighted, sir? The man I chose could neither read nor speak English. All he saw was the money. If he got caught, it would be a dead end, sir." The fleshy man laughed, shook his head, and stood up from his chair.
"The difference between us, son, is that we both want to save this country, and we both want to bring down the forces that would stain it and make it unrecognizable. But I understand our enemies. I hate them as you hate them, but I am not blind to them. You're a tactical thinker. I'm a strategic one."
"Pardon me, sir, but
you thought that the Mexicans' lack of English would protect us. But did you stop to think that many of our own people have betrayed us by stooping to learn their language? No, you didn't, did you? Apparently, Chief Stone is quite proficient in Spanish."
"Even so, sir, what could he possibly tell the police that would be of any value?"
That set the gray-eyed man off. "He could tell them about you, you idiot."
"I'm nobody, sir."
"Were that only true. But God help me, it is not. I need you. The movement needs you, and you put yourself at risk. Don't you understand that paradise is the perfect place for us to knock down the first domino? For the first shot of our revolution to be fired? It's our Lexington. It's a town near the place that began this country on the way to its greatness. We have scouted it for a year. We have members, true believers in place to help us. Help you light the fuse that will blow the lid off all the anger and desperation to return this country to what it was meant to be. You have heard of Plymouth Rock and Lexington?"
"Yes, sir," the soldier answered, not wanting to point out that the pilgrims on board the Mayflower were themselves immigrants, and that one of the men killed during the Lexington massacre was black. The soldier didn't think he'd bother bringing either thing up just then. Irony be damned. No one knew the colonel's moods or the price of his wrath better than the soldier.
"It's also a town in transition, a town being turned to mud by invaders. Sometimes, son, there is a confluence of perfect places, perfect situations, and perfect moments in time. This is one, and we dare not miss our opportunity. You never know when we'll come across it again."
"No, sir."
"Is everything in place?"
"Yes, sir, but..." The colonel's face turned red.
"But what?" he shouted. "Are you going to start in on that again? Because I'm not going to hear it. Haven't you ever had to make sacrifices in war?"
"Yes, sir. I've seen a lot of sacrifice in war, but..."
"There's that word again. Do you know about Coventry, son?"
"Coventry, sir?"
"It's a city in England. And during WW2... Churchill's codebreakers discovered that it was to be bombed. Churchill had a decision to make. He could evacuate the city and ambush the attacking German bombers with RAF Spitfires, or he could let Coventry go unprepared, unwarned, thereby allowing German bombers to do their worst. Do you know what choice he made? The colonel didn't wait for an answer. He let Coventry get the shit bombed out of it, because he couldn't risk the Germans finding out that his people had broken the German code. Do you see my point?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, indeed. If Churchill could sacrifice an entire city in order to win the war, then how can we not be willing to do the same, and at such a small price? Don't you agree, son?
No. Yes, sir. Go back to Paradise and await my instructions. Yes, sir. The soldier had taken two strides toward the back door when the colonel called after him.
Remember, son, Coventry. Coventry!